Blitz. Welcome to the Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Today is Thursday, February 25th. The time is 10:04. Brandon, you know what that means?
What, the fact that it's February 25th or the fact that it's 10:04? The
fact that it's 10:04.
Means that we're 4 minutes behind.
Well, yes, that is very true. Stock markets are open. Oh, we might be back.
They're pissing me off.
We might be back.
Stonks are pissing me off.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
They're limiting GameStop again. I don't like it.
So,
I got a big problem.
So this is a frustration that is repeated. This is the same kind of frustration that you and the rest of the working man felt, you know, just a couple weeks ago.
Back at it again.
Wow. I don't know. Who knows? Do you think it's going to blow up as big as it did last time?
Well, did you see it yesterday? Did you see GameStop yesterday?
I saw that it had jumped about 100%.
Jumped like 200%.
Yeah, people think it's going to jump 500% by the time it's all over.
They're not letting it.
Putting the hold on the little man like you.
Think they're going to stop it? I don't know. Either way. That might be a reoccurring story today. But either way, hey, good morning. Welcome into the show today. We are happy you are here. No matter how you're listening, whether it is on the radio, whether it's on the Periscope, or whether it is on something else entirely, we are thankful. We're thankful for you tuning in to the show today. We got a ton to get into today and a ton on the menu. But first, let me go ahead and introduce the guys at the table. Hey, my name is Rick Bowler. Joined to my left, that is Brandon Orrick. Joined to my right, and back behind the booth, that is the one and only Chance Collins. Good morning to you both. How are y'all doing today?
Doing pretty good, Rick.
Good.
Yeah, pretty good. Cannot complain.
All right. Easy enough. Well, guys, I guess without any further ado, we have a good show today. At least I think we do. Tennessee basketball had a game last night, so that's going to be a large portion of our conversation today. But got a little bit of a gift for you today. Look, we're getting towards the end of the week. You're almost there on a Friday. How about something on a Thursday to give you a little bit of a spark right here in the week? Coming up today at 11:30 a.m., we're talking to Will Warren right here on the show. You've probably seen him around. He does so much great stuff in regards to kind of Tennessee basketball and the analytical side of things. I know he's one of John's good friends. Him and John talk on his show all the time, and he really does some good stuff. But, you know, there was an article circulating around yesterday, Brandon. I don't know if you got a chance to see it, but it was by Will, and I was reading that a little bit during the show yesterday. Definitely read it when I got home yesterday, and I knew immediately that we needed to talk to him because I think he does a great job kind of breaking down what really is going on with this team and some of the frustrations that we're feeling.
Talking about the shooting?
Yeah.
Shooting struggles?
Yes. So he breaks it down and kind of what types of shots Tennessee is taking, what are the good shots, what are the bad shots, and it is very, very fascinating. We will also ask him a little bit about what he thinks about Tennessee's 12-point win yesterday. So either way, that is Will Warren coming up on the show, 11:30 today. You do not want to miss it as he is talking with us a little bit about Tennessee basketball. But guys, aside from that, got a little bit of professional sports to look into. I don't know. It's a little bit of a slow news day, but there's still plenty of things to get into. But of course, we do have our main topic of conversation, the hoops game. Brandon, what did you think of this game yesterday?
It's good to get the win.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not a great performance, especially when you consider that Vanderbilt was out, Scottie Pippen Jr.
Yep.
And they were still able to hang around. I think you won by, what, 12?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that was a team that you probably, without Pippen, you should have beat that team pretty handily. And it was a four-point game with, what, 2-3 minutes left?
Yeah, they definitely, Vanderbilt was definitely able to come back and at least push it, make it a little uncomfortable for Tennessee. Tennessee did take the lead after about 15 minutes had elapsed in the first half and never gave it up for the rest of the game. So, hey, on one side of things, Tennessee was able to maintain a lead for 25 straight minutes through the end of the game. There's a nice takeaway from yesterday. Chance, what about you? What was kind of your gut reaction from the win in Nashville last night?
Well, I think a lot of the same thing Brandon said. You definitely should have won. I mean, you win by 12. That's decent. Like, if you didn't watch the game, you know, they handled business. But there were moments, like you said, probably with about, I do remember, about 4 or 5 minutes left. They were down by, you know, 4 or 6 points. But we can also attribute that to Vandy. We had said before, you know, Vandy's gotten better as their seasons went along, too. It was just too close for comfort in the second half. I mean, you scored 38, they scored 36 in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't for, like, the margin you had in the first half, this might have been a little bit scarier in the final seconds. But a win's a win. You win, you move on. I think that, but still, like, the lack of scoring and still missing out from some key performers. I mean, where's Folky?
Yeah.
Still, where's Folky? Victor Bailey continues to ride his hot streak, and Jaden Springer continues to show that he's likely the best player and your only consistent player on this team outside of maybe like one really bad game that he had last game.
Yeah, I think you just nailed the three players who are kind of being talked about the most, either for good or for bad right now, probably Springer, Fulkerson, and Bailey as of late.
Bailey's came on strong. He was in that big slump, and Barnes and the other coaches talked about it, them working with him and telling him to continue to shoot, and he is the person where you're like, wow, this guy's getting hot before you get to the postseason. That's what you need. And Springer, like I said, Springer's been your most consistent player outside of his last game, which was probably his worst performance in Orange. But outside of that, he's been pretty consistent all year, and he continues to be consistent. He had 20. Pons, double-double, kind of where he's averaged around 10 to 14 points most of the year. So that's not that big of a surprise. Thought you might see a little bit more from JoJo, from Josiah Jordan James, Triple J.
Yeah.
But, I mean, win's win.
Josiah Jordan James does return to the lineup last night after he missed the previous two games with a wrist injury. And there really is a lot to get into about this game. There is really what I think a lot of things happened in the game yesterday that kind of sums up a lot of what Tennessee's season has been. And there's different things to look at in that. Guys, when I was looking back at this game and when I was kind of collecting my thoughts about it, I actually was kind of able to split everything up into, well, as cliche as it is, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Okay.
So.
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, basically. So here you go. From Tennessee Vanderbilt last night in Nashville, here is what, in my opinion, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Chance, like you mentioned yesterday, Victor Bailey Jr., a second ago, Victor Bailey Jr. did continue his scoring outburst last night. He drops 20 in that game. I don't know. I told Brandon when we were watching the game yesterday, Victor Bailey Jr. might just have it in his head that he can Kimball Walker this team to the SEC championship game. Now, I don't know if that's true, but I think in his head, he might believe that is true. He is playing lights out basketball right now. Look at this. At the beginning of February, so for the first four games of February, Chance, you mentioned a second ago, going through a little bit of a slump. He was shooting just under 19% from three-point range. In the final three games of February, jacked that number up all the way to over 60%. That's been the turnaround. Victor Bailey Jr. has been really the producer of our three-point shot in these last couple of games, and he has really, really been hot from behind the arc. Again, in First 4 games of February, under 19%. Last 3 games of February, over 60% from behind the arc. It is it's really something. And then again, Jaden Springer had a good game. Didn't make any shots from behind the arc, but that's okay. What he did do, though, he was a perfect 10 of 10 from the free throw line. Man, underappreciated, undervalued. That is something that we get so frustrated by and that it's just so nagging. Springer not only is able to find the basket and find the charity stripe, but he was able to hit all of his free throws yesterday, and that was huge. And then again, combine that one more time with the fact that Tennessee did maintain a lead for 25 minutes in the game until the end of the game. That, to me, was your 3 big bright spots in the good for Tennessee.
Well, another thing, whenever Tennessee went to that small ball lineup is really when they kind of figured, I don't know if I'd say figured things out, but things started clicking a little bit more offensively. So I wonder if you see Barnes kind of go to that more often in these last few games of the season.
Well, and that's something that we'll ask Will about as well, because I know that he is a big proponent of the small ball lineup, and I know that he has the stats to go behind with it as well. So that'll be interesting. That was the good. Now, of course, with the good comes the bad. You know, there are only 2 players mentioned with the good, Springer and Victor Bailey Jr., because nobody else really did anything substantial. Pons dropped in 10 as the only other player for Tennessee to drop double digits. But aside from Bailey, Springer, and Pons, the rest of the team only managed to put up 19 points. 6 players, 19 points, including Fulkerson, Keon, Santiago. I'm not really sure what it is. You know, we've known that Tennessee's going to have a balanced scoring effort, but obviously you see the deficiencies when, you know, the balance gets tipped. When you don't have, necessarily guys pull their weight. When you're looking at, you know, 3 of your best players right here, Fulkerson, Johnson, Vescovi, and they're part of the 6 that only combined for 19. So again, you got some players who played who really were able to find the basket last night. And then once again, a little bit of continued offensive struggle for basically the rest of the team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they just decided, all right, Bailey, Springer, you all have the hot hand, roll with it. I don't know. I thought Pons, Pons at what, 10?
Yeah.
Yeah, double-double, 10 and 10.
Okay, so maybe you're right. Because also, it's a little bit of a trend. In the game against Kentucky, you had 3 players score 43 of Tennessee's 55 total points as well. Pons, Johnson, and Victor.
I mean, maybe it's just kind of a – I don't know. I mean, maybe until Fulkerson figures it out, and if he figures it out at this point.
Yeah, it's a big if.
I don't know.
You know what's weird about his last couple games? Let me go ahead and just read you out basically what his last 5 games in terms of points have looked like. Goes like this: Georgia 4, LSU 4, South Carolina 19, Kentucky 4, Vanderbilt 4. Scored 4 points in 4 of the last 5 games besides that one 19-point outburst. So at least, consistent, if nothing else.
I wish he would be a little bit more consistent and with the 19.
Sure. And the other part of the bad, Brandon, that I was thinking about when I was thinking about the game yesterday, the beginning of the game, Tennessee looked flat at the beginning of the game. Just did not look like they had any kind of pep in their step. And really in a time where you should have really been able to come out there and look good, considering the talent level of Vanderbilt, considering the fact that 3 of their best players, including Scottie Pippen Jr., were removed from the lineup an hour before the game, and considering that Tennessee was back playing at full strength for only the second time in the last 5 games, feels like the expectation was to win handily, which again, 12-point win, covers the spread, double-digit win, still pretty good. But there were times where Tennessee looked to be a little rattled. The beginning of the game was definitely one of those.
Well, I mean, it's still the same struggles as we've had. We still go on these long scoring droughts, just minutes at a time, where you just can't hit anything. And the turnovers were a problem last night. You just didn't look good. Yeah, you got the win and it worked out. It just should have been a lot better, especially against a Vanderbilt team like that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So there you go. That's at least a little bit of the start of the basketball conversation today, talking about yesterday's win against Vanderbilt. The good, the bad, and the ugly from the game. We'll also talk about what it means coming up next for Tennessee, as only Auburn remains left on the schedule, at least officially as of now. Still, I guess there's a little bit of time. Do you have any kind of expectation, you know, if they're going to add anything? Do you think we'll hear it before the Auburn game?
Well, I mean, I think they're definitely going to add something, because there's a whole nother week after the Auburn game and before the SEC tournament starts. So they're going to add games. I just don't know when they'll announce them.
Okay, gotcha. And then again, we did hear from Charlie last week that, you know, no senior night during Tennessee's final home game. So maybe that leads you to believe that Tennessee will be having another home game. Either way, that is just the start of things today. Man, we have a lot of places to go, so buckle in. 865-546-8200. That is your number to call in. We'll see you on the other side. Oh, I gotta tell the people out there, oh, I have some great friends right here at the table. Not, my goodness, I shared some exciting information with my two great friends here. You know, I'd often consider them two of my best friends in the world, you know, during the break.
Oh,
now an exclusive member. I now was an exclusive member of the 4-Digit Club. I had just hit my 1,000th follower on Twitter. I don't know why I'm talking about this on the radio. It's just going to go down even more now.
And, yeah, it's not a good
move. Oh, my God.
People are just going to be unfollowing you just to mess with you now.
So as I'm excited about this, it's a milestone. I check it again, and it's 998, of course. Unbelievable. I wonder who that could have been.
I have no idea.
Golly.
Shaggy said it wasn't me.
Yeah, the worst. The worst. The worst! You know who's not the worst? My good friend! You guys are not my good friends. My good friend, Phil. He's on the phone lines right now. Good morning, Phil. Welcome into the show today. How are you doing?
Good morning, Fabulous.
What's going on?
You got to get that thing over 1,000 before the show's over, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's going to go that way. Can you believe that? Can you believe my friends just throw me under the bus? Not even throw me under the bus. They hit they threw it in reverse, hit the gas, put it in drive again, and then right back over. Unbelievable.
Well, I guess it's part of the reason, you know, since you went to the drive for a few hours, they're probably getting even with you, you know?
Oh, my gosh. Phil, you keep bringing this up. They're not going to forget it. So let's just, you know, bury it.
I've got it on good authority that he's meeting with the lead dullard of the drive later today. Maybe
really?
Conspiring for more.
Whoa.
More drive time.
Well, you gonna try to get that third chair?
Are you putting this report out there?
I
are you putting that report
that
out
not
there?
Officially. Not officially. This is just rumors I've
you
heard.
You better not be putting it officially.
I do hope whoever goes to that third chair gets under bear skin, though.
I'll tell you right now, I am perfectly comfortable in this chair right here, and that would mess up my afternoon nap. Everybody knows it's crucial. Either way, Phil, we didn't come here to talk about the drive. What are we doing? We had a basketball game last night. Golly.
Well, it wasn't much of one, wasn't it? It was awful to watch, wasn't it? Horrible basketball.
I mean,
I can say if we won the game, I mean, that was no major accomplishment at all. That's probably their worst performance in a win the whole year.
I would say for a lot of folks, it was probably the most unsatisfying win of the year. Again, to really think that they were missing their two best you know, three of their best players, but two of their really best. And if you look back at the first game that Tennessee and Vanderbilt had, those two guys, Dylan Disu and Scottie Pippen Jr., were really their entire team. They combined for, I don't know, what is that, 37 points?
Well, they're probably two All-ACC players, probably.
Yeah, so, like, you were really thinking going into this that, hey, they're missing 37 of their 60 points from last game. You know, their starting five have barely played together, in a starting lineup this whole year. And Tennessee, Tennessee should be good. We're back to full strength. Triple J is back in the lineup. You haven't really been healthy lately. And, again, a 12-point win is nice on paper. But we all know that it didn't always feel like that, and it wasn't really that close.
Well, Triple J is going to have to get back in the mix because they need him to – they need at least 10 points out of him and three or four rebounds a game. I mean, or five or six rebounds or something like that because, good Lord, I mean, Fulkerson, they're getting nothing out of him. And Pons is not playing that bad even though he's, hurt that knee. So he's probably playing the best he can play. But Keon's struggling right now, and Vlaskovi can't hit a shot. And he turns the ball over like a torn machine. Really, Victor Bailey Jr. and Springer are, the two guys that are getting it done right now.
I mean, those guys have been the two, scoring threats of the team lately.
But you got to have a 3 and 4 score to do. You got to have balance, and we don't have balance right now.
Yeah, and I guess the other tough part about that is, Tennessee never really knows who is going to be that, that third and that fourth scorer. Is it going to be Vlaskovi who goes for 13 or 3? Is it going to be Keon who can really get a great 16 or maybe just about a 6? And not that that's always bad. We know that, those kind of ups and downs are going to come. But sometimes those 3 and 4, they just never do. And that's when Tennessee really has trouble.
Well, why are you putting Bambi out there yesterday? I mean, Combo actually played pretty well in the first half. We were seeing second half, and Bambi keeps going out there, and yeah, I don't think he's hit a three the whole year, even though that was his forte coming out of Bearden High School.
I'd like to know what his plus-minus was yesterday. It could not have been.
You talking about Pember?
Yeah.
Yeah, I
thought Drew Pember's plus-minus, he was the only person with a minus. Mm. Minus one. But the only person that had a negative in the plus-minus in the box score.
Yeah, wow. Those couple minutes he was in there, I was just like, ugh.
He played 3 minutes, and 0 for 1, that one shot.
Well, Saturday we play Buck Pearl.
Yeah.
And I imagine Jamie will be, creating him all week on the drive, so can't wait to hear it. But Auburn's beaten down, but I guarantee they're going to full-court press us the whole game.
They'll be up. They'll be up for this game.
Well, Bruce always gets up for the Tennessee game. It's easy to see whenever he's coaching against Tennessee how much he gets fired up for the game. And Barnes has struggled against him, just like the same way we talked about how Barnes has struggled versus Will Wade. Those are the two coaches in the league that he struggles playing against.
Well, when you play people that press and got length and athleticism, that's the top teams that give Barnes trouble.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, guys, y'all hang in there. See you.
Appreciate it, Phil.
Appreciate the call, Phil.
Thank you for the call, as always, Phil. Well, not the most fun basketball game last night, huh?
No. I really – isn't it sad just how the whole narrative around the team has changed since December?
All right, I was thinking about this yesterday. Look at Arkansas. Arkansas is probably a fan base who never expects anything. You know what they got?
Oh, yeah, they do. In basketball, yeah.
In basketball?
Yes.
That came from Nolan Richardson.
They are probably the second most, as far as history goes, second most historical program in the conference.
Would you say that for this season?
What do you mean?
So, I was talking to an Arkansas fan last night, a buddy of mine, who, they had just beaten Alabama, and I was like, man, we need to take a play out of your playbook. Feel like, you never get your expectations up too high. You can roll with some of these fun seasons, even if it's not always that fun. Like, their football season looked, they looked like they were having fun over there, and they look like they're having fun during the basketball season. We get our expectations up so high, and I don't think that's our fault.
I mean... I feel like Arkansas, I mean, they didn't really play anybody at the beginning of the year, and then they had some players hurt, and now they've got everybody healthy, and they've just rattled off a bunch of wins. But, I mean, I feel like Arkansas basketball, especially, they expect to win.
Arkansas takes down Alabama last night in a big SEC matchup. We'll give you some more games from around the league, around the conference, and certainly some other places as well. That'll be coming up a little bit later on in the show. But until then, hey, we'll take this quick break right now. Come back on this side and then see what else we can get into. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio. All right, here we go, back here on The Blitz, 10:35 a.m., as we are making our way through the first hour of the show right now. Again, 865-546-8200. That is your number to call in. That is the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Of course, in case you want to talk a little bit about the basketball game a second ago, as we did with Phil, or in case you want to talk a little bit about the brand new football news that was just announced this morning by Tennessee. But before we tell you about that brand new breaking news, Brandon's got to tell you something first.
Been telling you about FanDuel all season long, and we're going to keep telling you about them. And at FanDuel, you can they got what they call the same game parlay. We've been telling you about it for weeks and weeks and weeks. And whether you're, let's see what NBA action we've got tonight. Rick, your Mavericks taking on the Philadelphia 76ers. It's going to be a tough game. Clippers taking on the Grizzlies. Pelicans, Bucks. Got a few of those. You can combine money line, over under, point spread, player points, rebounds, assists, all sorts of different kinds of bets that you can make and combine them into one bet and make a same game parlay. And right now, new and existing users can get up to $25 back each day if your parlay falls one leg short with same game parlay insurance. That's right, every single day. That's why we bet on FanDuel. Their app is easy to use. It's easy to deposit and find the bet that you're looking for. When you win, they're going to pay out fast in as little as 24 hours. And they've got live betting and odds boosts and specials every single day to give you more ways to win. So just download FanDuel Sportsbook today and try a same-game parlay and use promo code BLITZ at sign-up. That's promo code BLITZ. Must be 21 years or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund of $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
There you go. Go make yourself a little bit of extra spending money today on the sports world. Hey, that's always a little bit of fun. Go out and have some fun today with that. All right, so we just told you a second ago there was a little bit of breaking news from the Tennessee football department earlier this morning. And, you know, I'm in a pretty good mood today. Let's do it.
Short one.
I accept that it's not the short time. I'm okay with it. All right, here it is. Tennessee has officially announced Brian Jean Mary as the next Tennessee linebackers coach. Brian Jean Mary will be joining the Tennessee staff. He'll be joining Tim Banks, who is the defensive coordinator on this brand new Vols staff. Again, he comes over from Michigan, where he served 1 year as the Wolverines linebackers coach last year. He has had multiple Division I football stops. He is a very experienced assistant coach on the defensive side of the ball. And I got to say, in case you are staying up to date with FanRadio.com, we did put out a post giving you everything you needed to know about Brian Jean Mary just about 4 days ago. So go back and look for that if you haven't found it. But I got to tell you, man, I like this one. Again, we had heard the reports coming around the wire what was that, about 4 or 5 days ago, that Tennessee was looking to finalize a deal with Brian Jean-Mary to be their next linebackers coach. We talked about that here on the show, and now Tennessee goes ahead and makes it official. What do you think?
Can he recruit?
Yeah. Believe he can.
I mean, I think it's a good hire. I mean, you get a guy that's got Power 5 experience and has been at, Texas, Michigan?
Yeah.
So, I think it's a good hire. We'll see how it turns out.
Brian Jean-Mary was the coach who basically was hand-in-hand with Charlie Strong for a large chunk of his career. Jean-Mary spent time under Charlie Strong both at Louisville and Texas, essentially from 2010 all the way up till 2019. The South Florida Bulls, that coaching span is in there as well. Then, obviously, he jumped to Michigan for 1 year last year, now over to Tennessee. Brandon, but you had just asked about the recruiting side of things. This is according to the Michigan Athletic staff page. And, again, this was from just about 4 days ago when he was, still an officially a Wolverine staff member. But they say, as a recruiter, Jean-Mary helped produce a trio of top 15 signing classes at Texas, improving from 15th in 2014 to 7th in 2015 and 8th in 2016, and one at Georgia Tech, 15th in 2007. He also had a top 30 class at Louisville in 2011, which came in at 27th.
Okay. This is from Josh Heupel.
Okay.
He says, Brian is a great fit on our defensive staff. He has coached defenses that are known for creating negative plays and forcing turnovers. He brings energy, experience, and extensive success as a recruiter to Tennessee. Our student athletes will enjoy playing for him, and we are excited to officially welcome him to Knoxville.
I like it. I like that from Heupel. Here's a little bit more about some of his past experiences in the coaching world. They say here, again, this is from the Michigan Athletics page. Jean-Mary's defensive units were consistently among the nation's best in turnovers created, tackles for loss, and pass defense. In his first year, USF listed top 25 nationally in 6 categories, including sacks per game and interceptions. And immediately right there, what stands out to me, Brandon, we talked about some of these coaches that Tennessee have already added to the list. Talked about a guy like Tim Banks, right, who has extensive experience working with secondary. We talked about a guy like Willie Martinez, who also has extensive experience working with that position group. We talked about guys like Rodney Garner and the thing that we kind of learned from researching some of those guys, where we learned that a guy like Tim Banks loves the turnover. Always going for the turnover. One of the most turnover-forced teams in the country consistently throughout his career at Penn State. Now we know that, right, Brian Jean-Mary also kind of comes from the school of forcing turnovers. We also know that Tim Banks, he was one of those guys who his teams almost never let up a touchdown pass. He was incredible.
What? Never let up a touchdown
pass?
Said
almost. I'm sifting through the article right now to find you that exact stat.
While you're looking for that, Jean-Mary signs a 2-year contract, paying about $500,000 per, just a little bit over $500,000 per year. So there's the contract details.
I'm sorry, 2 years?
2 years, $500,000 per year.
Okay, there you go. Brandon, I think this might have been it. I don't know. I don't have too much time. During his successful 5-year run at Penn State, the Nittany Lions ranked in the top 25 nationally in fewest yards per play allowed all 5 years and ranked in the top 25 in scoring difference, scoring defense 3 times in tackles for loss per game 3 times. He also proved to be an outstanding recruiter during this time. I don't think that was the exact number I was looking for, but don't worry. I'll get it for you at some point. But either way, we're not necessarily talking about Tim Banks right now. We are talking about Brian Jean-Mary. I think another thing that sticks out to me about Jean-Mary is, again, we just kind of talked about it, but big game experience. When you're at schools like Texas, when you're at schools like Michigan, those are big money games. I like the idea of having a guy who has experience in those games.
And he seems to have a pretty good defensive, I'd say, like the pedigree comes from the Charlie Strong coaching tree. Mm-hmm. He spent most of his time with Strong at Louisville, and then he followed Strong to Texas, and then he followed Strong to South Florida. And Charlie Strong's always been a great defensive coach. He's just lacked in the head coaching departments where he's failed, but he was also always a great defensive coordinator for Florida during the championship years with Urban Meyer.
Yeah. So I believe that is pretty much it on the defensive side of the ball. I know there's a couple more special teams positions that are going to be filled eventually, but your defensive side of the ball does officially look like this. Tim Banks, defensive coordinator. Ronnie Garner, defensive line coach. Willie Martinez, secondary coach. Brian Jean Mary, linebackers coach.
While we're still on football,
mm-hmm.
This is from Football Scoop, John Bryce. Sources tell Football Scoop that Matt Merritt, a well-regarded young coach viewed as an up-and-coming, quote, name to know in college football, is joining Tennessee staff as an offensive analyst.
Okay. An offensive analyst.
Earlier in Merritt's career, he had been a graduate assistant with Urban Meyer at Ohio State, where he was an analyst for Ohio State in 2014. So that was this morning.
And I'm sorry, one more time. Where was he last, most recently?
Most recently, I believe he came from UCF.
Okay, there you go.
Who had just been hired at UCF mere weeks before Heupel joined Danny White at Tennessee. Yeah.
So sounds like a Cody Burns type of situation.
Yes, yeah, so just
brought him on during the offseason and then brings him on to the new staff as well.
Yeah.
There you go.
More UCF North.
Guys, on the other side of the break, I have an interesting segment for you guys both to close out this hour of the show. I would like to present you guys a story. And I think that we need to put the individual in this story on trial. Now, I know we might have a very one-sided perspective of this. So, you know, maybe if we have our incredible female audience of the Blitz, maybe even call in for this. But I'm going to have you two be the judges. I'm bringing you a story coming up next that will blow your mind. Well, maybe. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Blitz on Fan Run Radio. All right, here we go back here on the Blitz, 10:51 a.m. as we are making our way through the end of the first hour of the show today. Rick, Brandon, and Chance hanging out with you. Still got another full hour coming up in the show. You won't want to miss it. We got a ton of great stuff to get into. But first, to close out this hour, I wanted to bring you guys a story, but got to be totally honest. When I was finding this last night and when I had looked at it again this morning, the tweets were there. But as I just told you guys a second ago, I had just looked them up again, and now the entire story is wiped off the face of the internet. It's been deleted. So, you know, it kind of throws a wrench in my story here. Unexpected deletion of the tweets. You still want to know the story?
Yes.
Okay, so here's my question to you guys. This story, and unfortunately I'm not going to have all the perfect details now, but we're going to kind of just talk about the concept, I guess, right? Like the philosophical element of it. But here's what happened. You have a guy and a girl, and they're in a relationship, and I believe this girl is a Twitch streamer or something along those lines, and I guess they have a relationship going on. But the girl, she has posted on Twitter the entire search history of her boyfriend on a certain website. Certain website that you can probably think of.
What website?
Yeah. What website?
The Hub. I think you got where I'm going with that one, Chance. I don't even think I needed to give you that hint, but that's what happened, right?
Oh, so the kiddies are in school. Pornhub.
Exactly. So here's what it was, right? So,
well, you scared to say it.
I guess they had maybe an agreement that this would not be part, right? The boyfriend does not follow the rules. He's out perusing late at night, it seems. The girlfriend finds
it. Do we know that they had an agreement?
Yes, actually.
So they had an agreement that he would not watch?
Yes. This is true.
Okay. We're having more details here. Okay, continue.
So she posts basically this message on Twitter, again, which has since been deleted. And in the message, it basically said, you know, hey, we had an agreement. We were not going to, this was not going to happen in this household, but I have found it happening.
There would be no watching of pornography.
But I have found it happening. So she was not happy about it. So she took the search history, right, which I can imagine anybody, you know, would be a little bit private of, totally exposed.
We got some breaking news. This just in, Brandon. This one's for you. Paramount Plus is bringing back Frasier. You remember Frasier? Rick Butler? Kelsey Grammer?
Why'd you just stop my story?
One of the most highly acclaimed, most successful comedy series of all time. Bringing it back. It came across the timeline. I felt like you needed to know. Frasier's coming back, for those of you who are listening. You can go ahead and keep going with your story. Go ahead.
I feel like I hear the crickets in my headphones.
Go ahead.
That was abysmal.
Go ahead.
That was abysmal.
That's Chance. Hey, I'm sorry, but I think that's up there with the.
It's better than his porn story he's fumbling through over here.
I think that breaking news was up there with the Rick. With
it was
Rick's,
supposed to be like that. Duh. Sometimes I think you guys just don't understand me. Sometimes I just think you don't understand me. It'd be your own homies. It'd be your own homies. That was the point of the breaking news being bad breaking news. It was to throw Rick off. He can proceed, though. Or you don't have to. We can keep talking about Frasier. Long-standing show for over 15-plus years on NBC. That's kind of where David Spade got one of his big starts. Right after Tommy Boy and Black Sheep. Also pretty good movies. $56.50's coming. We can filibuster. In other news, Brandon.
Hour number two is coming up next. What are we going to get into? Well, we still got a little bit about the basketball game to get into. Talking about a couple of NFL stories going around. Free agency, obviously in the works right now. Who is going where? See, J.J. Watt been posting a couple of cryptic tweets here and there.
It's coming back home.
Certainly break down some of those. A little bit of MLB news. I don't know, man. We got a bunch of places to go to in the second hour here of the show.
Maybe even more Frasier talk.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. 865-546-8200. That is your number to call in. Go ahead and give us a call. Otherwise, we're going to take a quick break right here. Hour number two is right around the corner. Don't go anywhere.